Welcome back to ISO Insights, and today I have a guest I'm very excited to talk to, Brother Ron Edwards, hailing from Australia. He's an Aussie, and he's come today to talk about something very important to International School of the Word, ISO Ministries, and this is ISO Insights. I'm your host, Matthew Foley. I want to give you a little bit of a background before I hop into our subject today. So, Brother Ron Edwards, he was for many years of his life an atheist. He was a general manager over Abbott Laboratories and Hospital Products. They also did diagnostics, and he also was the managing director over Ramsay Surgical, which was a big company in Australia. So he was an atheist, and the clinch point for him was evolution. For many years of his life, until the age of 46, he went to a conference that talked about the special language of DNA, the precision that goes behind DNA, and that gave him pause. It was a creationist conference, and it was at that conference that he actually gave his trust to Jesus Christ. So after that, very shortly, in 6 months, he bought Christian Press, which was the largest Christian book distributor in Australia. So he went from managing pharmaceuticals to running Christian Press, which is now ran by his son, Scott Edwards, who's the president of that company. So Brother Ron, thank you so much for coming on ISO Insights.
Glad to be here.
And today, we're going to be talking about one of the big passion projects that he has in his service, which is, first, it began as one website, but then moved on to a new website that he started a few years ago, millennialkingdom.net, which is dedicated to the thousand-year reign of Christ, which anybody who's a student of ISO will also be familiar, because we have a course that's dedicated to this specific subject. So today's episode, we dive in to the powerful biblical prophecies that foreshadow this 1,000-year reign. After Christ comes back and overthrows the Antichrist and establishes dominion over the world, his reign begins. Satan's bound up in Hades, under the earth. He's bound up, and he's bound up for 1,000 years while Christ rules. But a lot of people may ask, so what's the deal here? Well, Brother Ron, I just want to start with, why did you feel compelled to create millennialkingdom.net, and how does it build on your earlier website, livingeternal.net?
Well, perhaps I can even go back to give you a little bit of background. When, you know, I ran Christian Press, which morphed into Care and Share Products. Right, we really wanted to move out of what I called the holy huddle, which was just Christian bookshops, into serving the broader gift market.
And, I see.
So the name changed to Care and Share Products, and I actually ran the company Christian Press and Care and Share Products for 30 plus years.
Wow.
So it was very difficult for me to move away from that. But it was interesting, you know, I've always been in business. That's a talent that God's given me. And I'm actually on the board of the International Christian Chamber of Commerce.
Wow.
Australia. And what I did, what I felt to do after handing over the business to Scott, my younger son, I really felt to move into coaching and mentoring businessmen. And I actually wrote a book, Build a Kingdom Business, Empowered by the Holy Spirit. That was my first book. That's still available, still being sold. Mm. And it's up on Amazon.
Yeah, I'll put a picture of it up here.
Build a Kingdom Business, Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so I did that for a number of years. And in fact, quite a few years. And particularly active with the International Christian Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of the Full Gospel Businessmen, and I'm also involved with that group as well. But funnily enough, I then connected with some of the end time prophecy guys. Dr. Nelson Walters was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got interested in the fact that we are approaching the end times. In fact, we are living in the end times. And so LivingEternal.net started out of that. living, which is in fact called living eternal now. Because I really felt that, and in fact, the book I wrote along with that is Living Eternal Now, Ready for Jesus' Return. Right. And so I've had that going for about, I guess, 8-9 years, living eternal now, maybe even longer. And I actually do a post a day. So if anyone wants to watch that, they'll it's really basically giving you an update on where we are. But I post a lot of videos like Nelson Walters, for example, on that on that website. But funnily enough, in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, bear in mind, this was in my 80s, God really narrowed my focus, and I didn't want to go there, to the millennial kingdom. And
why did you not want to go there? What was the resistance?
Well, I really felt I should be warning people about the fact that we are in the end times, and they, you know, and that we're going to face tribulation. And I really felt that was the focus. And I was on the here and now, not what God's got next.
I see.
Right, which is, which is follows him return, his return. But so it was strange that I really had a resistance, but I thought, okay, well, I better do some research on this. And I'm so glad I did, because, you know, how many churches are really teaching, you know, Christians about what God has got coming next, and the fact that it's on this earth, and that the curse is not lifted totally. It's certainly in Israel, it very much is, but certainly not in the rest of the world. And I mean, things will change fairly dramatically. It says that people will live much longer. There will not be the disease that that we see now, but people are still sinners. They're still being born. They still die, and during the millennial reign, I mean, it's very clear. 4 times in Revelation, it says that Jesus and the saints rule with a rod of iron. Now, how different is that to the new heaven and new earth where only the righteous dwell?
Yeah.
Right. So there is this transition where God really has to fulfill Israel's destiny. And bear in mind that Moses, right, even before they went into the promised land, Moses told them the whole story.
Wow.
Right? That they were going to be kicked out, that they would be scattered throughout the world. Right. But he also told them, right, think about this. Even before the Jews went into the promised land, they were told that they were going to be kicked out and scattered throughout the world, but that God would finally gather them. Every prophet in the Old Testament got the end of the story.
Yeah. Right?
That God was going to regather them. And I think that's one of the reasons why there still are Jews in the world today, right? Because they know the end of the story.
They
know the end of the story.
That's true. Right? That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this, you know, the fact that it's a transition period, and anyway, interestingly enough, you know, I went to Dr. Nelson Walters, who is a really good friend of mine, and I told him what I felt God was acting, and he said, that's not me, Ron. He said, in fact, I don't know much about the millennial kingdom, and he didn't, right? And I told him he should go and read the book, 1,000 Years with Jesus, right? Matthew Bryson Irvine's book, which is an excellent book, incidentally. And I have connected with him as well. But it's been a real blessing to really study what is coming next. Mm-hmm. And being able to prepare for it. I'm sure that God will use the talents he's given me for business in the millennium, right? And I think everyone else should think about that. You know, well, what will God be using me, right? Bear in mind, people will still need to be evangelized, right?
Yeah.
They still need to, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So
I can't imagine, you know, the world where right now we evangelize out of faith, but when that day comes, it will be like a decree from the king, like Jesus himself will be physically in the earth. So you're just relating
and
a message.
And the saints.
So it'll be wildly different.
Resurrected saints.
Yeah. Right?
With our new bodies, how good will that be? But I, you know what, Matthew, I'm not sure that all that are raised from the dead will come back for Jesus' millennial reign. We certainly know that the martyrs will, right, in Revelation 20.
Well, that's interesting. All who were martyred, whose blood was shed.
They certainly will come back. He specifically mentioned those. Right. And then I'm sure that, well, we know there are others because we know that all the disciples will be, right?
Over the tribes.
Over one of the tribes.
Yeah.
And David will be back, right? There are many of the, think about the fact that there is a new Jerusalem, right, on the new earth, right? The new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. So it is made up there, right? So maybe some of the saints are up there, right, involved with that. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
But and you know how big that is.
Yeah.
Right? It is massive. I mean, from Cairns to Melbourne.
It's a huge footprint.
And that comes down out of heaven, right? So that had to be made up there. So it'll be interesting I just don't know. There is a scripture that actually says other saints will be, ruling and reigning with Jesus in the millennium.
Yeah.
But certainly the martyrs will be.
Well, we know today there are rabbis who they look for an opportunity where in this world as it's present, Israel, the nation, will expand or at least they'll be able to rebuild the temple. Some rabbis are against it, but there's this idea of expansion, like God will continue to give more and more authority to the Jewish people. Now, we as Christians know the Antichrist will come before the end. So things are going to get worse before they get a lot better. But
two-thirds of the Israelites will be killed.
By the Antichrist.
Yeah.
What would you then say? So what are the promises when Jesus does come? And he says at that point, we know that the people that are, there's going to be 144,000 men who've never known a woman in Israel, Jewish men who are dedicated to Christ, and they have this mark on their head. But in that case, so we have people that believe in Christ. And Jesus said, talking about Israel, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So we know they're going to accept him as the Messiah finally when he returns. But what are the promises that God still has to Israel where he says, you know what, I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to fulfill these for you. What, can you give me some examples of, these are some things that have gone unfulfilled for the people of Israel?
Well, the fact that they will be the lead nation in the world, right? And they will be blessed above all other nations, right? Their produce will be even greater. It actually talks about the lion and the lamb, right? Now, but where does that happen? Only on his mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I think
you're right.
That will be the case, right, on my holy mountain. And so we could
I could hop over there. I was just going to say, to that point, I'll get this website pulled up, but there are multiple scriptures I actually found in searching that attest to the fact that there are statements made about these predatory animals no longer hunting or having that nature, but it's specifically in that area of Jerusalem that it guarantees It guarantees none of these animals in Jerusalem will have a predatory nature anymore.
No.
Very interesting.
I mean, the fact that Jesus is there and they are basically all saved. I mean,
yeah. And, absolutely.
So it is certainly different.
So here we have it on millennialkingdom.net, the Millennial Kingdom and Israel. And we see here that you have the different covenants, the promises that God made beginning with Abraham. He references it here, and he talks about giving them the full apportionment of the land of Canaan. So during the millennial reign, if Israel's the head nation of the world, are these borders that we hear in Scripture promised to Israel from the Nile, all the way up to some territory around the Euphrates,
well,
I believe it is?
There is a picture, of course, on the front, on the homepage of the,
yeah.
On the homepage. Just go back to the homepage.
Absolutely. It's right
there
here.
There's the full territory. To the Millennial Kingdom.
Wow. Yeah,
it's
we
so
know.
Different. And in fact, if you go to Israel and click on Israel again and go down there, you'll see Israel today, a picture of Israel today, and of course, Israel in the millennium.
Yeah.
There is one. There's the one we're talking about, the animals. There we go.
The animals, there we go.
I thought I had both there.
Here it is.
Yeah, there's the animals, of course.
And we have the animals and the new fruit. So some of the details about the millennial reign. Yeah, the Holy Mountain, the land allotment of Israel.
Yeah, I thought I had both there.
Let's see here. And then we have a picture. Here's an artistic demonstration here. But
I thought I did. I thought I put both, but obviously it's not there.
So we have an era where we know Ezekiel has prophesied in Ezekiel 40 through 48, he mentions the specific details.
Is this, God will favor the nation Israel?
Yeah, God will favor the nation Israel.
Right, there's some really good ones here. Ezekiel, right, then the nation that are left around shall know that I'm alive. I have rebuilt the ruined places, replanted them, which was desolate. I am the Lord, I have spoken, I will do it. Right, this also, I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like a flock. The flocks of Jerusalem during appointed, so that the waste cities will fill with flocks, that they will know that I'm the Lord. But also, the Millennial Kingdom, then instead there shall be a double portion. Here we are. You shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast instead of your shame. There shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in the land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy.
Wow.
So the Israelites will be able to enjoy the fruits of their own labor, live life. God will answer prayers before they're even finished. Miracles will abound.
So we see like the Jewish people throughout history have been pretty much systematically over time, like clockwork. There's been an attack in the last 2,000 years, that's always pushing the number of the Jewish people back down. You know, in the last 100 years, the Holocaust happened. But one of the big promises here is this increase. Finally, God says you're going to increase like a flock. So that's an incredible thing. It's God's promise of safety over the Jewish people.
Isaiah 61 predicts an earthly restoration of Israel's cities and an agrarian ideal in which Israel's flocks and farms will be blessed. The Israelites will be able to enjoy the fruits of their labor and live a life. God answers prayer. And it actually says here, no more heard sound of weeping, no more young 100 years and so on.
So there, in other words, he's saying people's lives are going to be expended. He says, no more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die at 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. That's so interesting. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
They shall not labor in vain, and their offspring will be, blessed. There is, keep going down. There is a scripture there which basically talks about their produce is double whatever.
Yeah.
Anywhere else in the world. So they're going to be blessed, really blessed.
Yeah,
and
dramatically.
And it talks about, of course, GM morphology transformed, right? I mean, it's
Mount of Olives split in two.
Yeah, it's got the highest mountain in the world.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
Jerusalem will be on the highest mountain in the world. And of course, we know what happens in the, when God pours out his wrath upon the earth. I mean, mountains are collapsed and islands disappear and
two rivers flowing out of the east and the west sides. Yeah. So it's an amazing transformation of the land. It's completely, it almost changes the map with how things are done.
It says the land, that day the living water shall flow from Jerusalem, hard towards us. And of course, I mean, the fish and so on in the rivers and everything, I mean, just amazing. The land across the planet will produce food in a way that none on earth has experienced since Adam and Eve, exit from paradise. Israel will enjoy the greatest level of production. It will be, right? Across the highest mountain on the earth. And listen, on the that majestic tree on the mountain, height of Israel, I will plant it, that may bear branches and produce fruit, become a noble cedar, and under it will dwell every kind of bird in the shade of its branches. Birds of every sort will nest, and all the trees of the fields shall know that I'm the Lord. I mean, people will want to go there, right? Listen to this.
Yeah.
So they will say the land Israel that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left around you shall know that I'm the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I'll make the places all around my hill a blessing, and I'll cause showers to come down in their season. Then the trees of the field shall bear their fruit, and the earth shall lead their increase. They shall be safe in the land, but I'll raise up for them a garden of renown. They shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles, right? They shall know that I'm the Lord, right? Every time it says, right? The wilderness and dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossoms, right? Among the first types, right? Yeah.
So with that transformation, there's abundance out of Israel. There's a really strong, and I'll shift back to us here. There's a really strong focus on Eden, the transformation of Israel returning to Eden. Can you speak to the connection? Because I do see a connection here. Satan is bound up under the earth. So even though there's still this inclination in humanity that goes back to sin, how do you think that relationship works with sin and humanity? Because it mirrors the Garden of Eden, because Satan wasn't the god of this world when he was the serpent.
We're talking about Israel. Right?
Yeah, Israel specifically.
Because it talks about other nations. If the leaders don't come up to worship Jesus, what happens? No rain on their land.
No rain. Absolutely.
No rain on their land, right?
Yeah.
So we talk about ruling with a rod of iron. You see what I'm saying? It's so different from the new heaven and earth, what we're told, you know, what's coming.
Wow. So you're saying that the real key is the difference in the localized people that will live in Israel. The Bible tells us Israel, the nation, which is the center of the world at this point, will have this idyllic kind of life like Eden.
The highest mountain on the
earth. But it's
they
it's
go up to.
Wow. Yeah. It's in these recess nations, these nations across the world, that you have these rebellions that are resisting the reign of Christ as King of Kings. And that does make sense, because in it, like you said, Zechariah, I believe it's Zechariah 13, maybe a little later, but it mentions the famine that Christ brings, like he keeps rain from falling on nations whose leaders refuse to go up to Jerusalem to worship. But they're also, even in Revelation, it mentions when the rebellion happens, it says that the people that come up to Jerusalem in rebellion are like the sands of the sea, but it says from the four corners of the earth. So it's almost the imagery of these nations that are outside of Israel. I think that's a very compelling thing. Wow.
Yeah. And
wow.
So it's going to be interesting for Christians, right, who are given responsibility for government of some of these nations. Yeah, and I'm sure the death penalty will be back, right?
Yeah.
And so, it will be very different from what we think of in terms of the new heaven and new earth. Well, I really had a hard time with the fact that the sacrifice is back. Why? And so there is a large section under Israel about the millennial sacrifices. We may want to go there. That might be useful.
Yeah, I can hop there real quick because this is one of the subjects we actually covered as well. Now, that one's under Israel.
Well, I know you did this one, didn't you?
I did. I covered this lesson specifically. And I love to see
I'd be interested to hear your comments on the content that I put there.
Yeah, I was very interested. So, and I'll tell you real quick as we're going here, and I can let you read this, but I'll give a little bit of what my perspective was in doing that lesson. So with the millennial sacrifices, this is a conversation I had with the guy who really started for us this research, which is Dr. Charles Ruark. He read this many, many times, and he felt like that a lot of people were teaching it was only commemorative of Christ's death and resurrection, like it was basically a reformatting of communion. And he had
is equally as important because people are still sinning.
Right? But his main thing was, and I agreed with him, and you touched on it here, is death. The presence of death. He felt the commemorative view really didn't represent what Ezekiel was describing fully. And he said, and I researched this in Hebrews, especially in Hebrews theology, that the temple, the sacrifices are being used to make the temple a sacred space because people still are in dying bodies. And that's something you highlighted here. So I'd love you to be able to hop in that. Tell me what your perspective is.
That's the second point.
Yeah.
If we go down. There's point one and point two.
A hedge against the
defilement.
Perfect. Right?
They will appease God's wrath for a time and keep his home pure in the midst of a sinful world. Right? So, I mean, they're touching, the altar is cleaned and so on.
And that's something that's very hard, I think, for many of us in the modern world to understand because we don't understand sacred space. We don't understand what that means and that God, how the context of the Old Testament would have carried over to this pretty seamlessly.
Yeah. No, so that's very important, and the changes in the sacrifices is important too.
Yeah. In the Mosaic system, right here, you mentioned it. So you mentioned in the Mosaic system, no goats were offered, while in the millennial system, a goat is offered on each of the 7 days, Ezekiel 43:25. What are your thoughts? Why would that change occur?
I'm not sure.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, it's a mystery, right? And I thought about it, but I had no, as I say, the Mosaic called for applying blood on the horns of the altar, while Ezekiel's instructions go further with blood also being applied to the corners and on the border around it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. In Ezekiel's system, people are permitted to enter. And with why? Because, and I can show an image here, but the Lord's throne replaces the Ark of the Covenant. That's the most amazing thing about the temple. Jesus' throne replaces the Ark. So what are your thoughts about that? That's pretty spectacular.
It is. Yeah. Well, that scripture from Jeremiah says it all. They will say no more of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind.
Yeah.
Nor shall they remember it. Nor shall they visit it. Nor shall it be made anymore. Right? At that time, Jerusalem will be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it. Right? And, of course, if they don't go up for the Feast of Tabernacles, right, once again, plagues on the land.
That's right. They have to be observed right here. Right here, they have to be observed in Ezekiel 44:24 and Zechariah 14. There we go, 16. So, wow. So with that, that's such a big change from what we see because we're used to Jesus being, the mild and meek kind of shepherd image that we portrayed him to be.
Yes.
But he comes back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How do we... fit that into our gracious understanding of Jesus.
That's why I think God narrowed my focus down because I had no concept of this at all. And he said, Ron, you just have a wrong view. I'm thinking about the new heaven and new earth where only the righteous dwell. It's wonderful. Hey, hang on. Whoa. And then I'm reading this stuff, as I said, and I'm wrestling with the sacrifices and as you say, death penalty back and no rain on their land. And wow. And why am I reading this Rod of Iron?
So in closing here, you mentioned earlier, you said, you know, I'm a businessman and I'm sure that my business acumen and talents will be used by Christ to serve him. Yeah. So we know Christians are like a priestly, a kingdom of priests, a priestly class that rules with Christ, similarly to almost like a Davidic way of anointing, way of handling things. But also, I know that God, I actually did a lesson about this, that God shifted, just like he said, the firstborns of Israel, when he was giving the Exodus, he said, the firstborn shall be the priest. And then everybody sinned, but the Levites, when the golden calf incident happened, they ran throughout the camp when Moses returned, and they vindicated and said, we're on the Lord's side. So God said, you know what, Levites, you're going to stand in the place of the firstborn males. But here we have, almost with the order of Melchizedek, Jesus Christ's priesthood in the New Testament, he shifts the priesthood, it seems like, and I know that there's priests, the Zadokites and the Levites in the temple, but the ruling over the earth is now believers. I get into all that because what can Christians right now, how should we think about our actions in our body right now in this life and how they affect our role in the millennial kingdom?
I mean, prayer, we just need to know, I mean, think about it. I mean, and not enough churches talk about this either. The fact that, you know, Jesus died and you know, rose again, I mean, just what he achieved for us. But then he said, right, I've got to go so the Father can send. I've made it possible for the Father to send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to indwell you. And Proverbs 20:27 is really key here. Yeah, the spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord. Well, think about that, right? How does a lamp function? With oil, which is the Holy Spirit, right? So our spirit always was meant to have the Holy Spirit indwelling it, right? So it could be the lamp of the Lord, right? And so we really need to be daily, right, just allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our every step, right? And I think, I mean, well, for example, I think that the Lord showed me that in the millennium, right, he will use my skills, my talents. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons why I've still maintained, right, I'm still on the board of the ICCC. I'm still speaking at Full Gospel Businessmen's, right, meetings. I went to Adelaide and I have 30-odd people and they get a copy of my book, Build a Kingdom Business, Empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I also sell them Living Eternal Now, ready for Jesus return. Yeah. They get an opportunity to talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm still doing that, right? And so, I mean, it's a skill that God's given me, right? I've grown, you know, I love growing businesses, right? Other people's businesses.
Right? Yeah, it's a service. That sounds like a service.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so
it sounds like continuing prayer. Yeah,
but they should understand that what is coming is this transition 1,000 years, right? And that, you know, as I said, maybe not all of us are coming back, right? But I think it'll be a blessing to come back and actually rule and reign with Jesus, even though it's with a rod of iron.
Well, this has been incredible.
Totally different. Yeah. It's totally different from thinking about, right, the new heaven and new earth.
Yeah.
And I think people need to understand that, right, and get a grip on it, right? Mm-hmm. The churches should be talking about it. I mean, the other thing is that I've got a whole host of PowerPoint sermons.
Yeah.
Did you see that under the resources?
Yeah, I saw that. And I'll put a link here in this video once it's posted so people can access that, find it at your website, and get access to those PowerPoints.
Yeah, well, there's still probably 14 to go up.
Thank you so much for coming on to the show and ISO Insights. It's been awesome to have you. And I do want to say for those listening, look over and go to millennialkingdom.net. Please do check that out, his website. I'll put a link for Brother Ron Edwards' PowerPoints as well on these subjects that he's referenced here. Also, please do check out millennialtemple.tv, ISO's website, since we're working in tandem. So thank you so much, Brother Ron, for coming on. It's been a huge blessing.
Yeah, it's been great fun. I've enjoyed it, man.
Absolutely. We'll catch you guys next time on ISO Insights.